God bless you today. I'm excited again. I just, earlier today talked to my daughter, and they're getting ready to come over and cook Father's Day dinner for me. And I'm excited about it because they're going to cook all the stuff that I want, like the greens, the black-eyed peas, the hot water cornbread, and all that. So I'm excited about it, and I'm thankful for it. But first of all, I really want to leave a message on record for those who will hear us today. And I'm going to call it the subject of our message today, Daddy Said It. Daddy Said It. Daddy Said It. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the kingdom. And we thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of fathers who love you everywhere. That we would take a stand as fathers and lead our houses in the way that would bring glory and honor to the kingdom. And through this, Father, we will be able to produce good children, good grandkids, and great grandkids, because our word is directly from you. Thank you for it. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Mel, good to be with you on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on KRAJ 100.9 FM right here in the Antelope Valley. And I don't know how long I've been on with you, but it's been quite a few years that we've been together, and I'm thankful for it. I want to take you all who will listen with us today to the book of Joshua, and Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15. And then I'll ask you to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. And then I will take you finally to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And something else may fly up in these few minutes that we're together that might pique your interest. Let's read. I'm going to start off in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and let me start with the first few verses. And Joshua gathered all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now watch verse 2. And Joshua said unto all of the people, thus said the Lord of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now, I won't read the rest of this all the way down to about verse 14, but what has happened here, Joshua is giving his final statement to the people and saying to them what God had said to him. So he, in verse 2, you will find that Joshua said, and Joshua said to all the people, thus said the Lord. So we as fathers need to begin to speak what God speaks rather than what society speaks. And as you and I were watching and listening to the TV and the news, Brother Mel, we found out that our good president is saying some crazy stuff. But what we've got to do as fathers, we've got to be able to hear this and at the same time help our children to understand the fact that this is totally ungodly what he is doing. And not that we are taking political stand, but we're taking stands on righteousness. So when Joshua began to call to their attention, he called them all together, and he called the leaders, and as he called the leaders, he said, I want all of you together, and I want you, really, it doesn't say this in this particular scripture, but when we look up the background of this, he says, I want you guys to have your hearts set so that you can hear what God has to say. I don't want you to come waiting to go back to eat some broiled lamb. I want you to come with your ears open so that you can hear what God has to say. And he began to speak to them. He says, now, you remember, this is Joshua speaking as he spoke to them and reminding them of what God had already done for them. He says, you remember when God brought you out of Egypt. You remember that. I know you guys do. Now, he's talking to all of the leaders, saying what God had told him to say to them. I know you guys remember how God brought us out. Now, I also know that you remember, even though you were not there when we started, I know that you remember the fact that when the water ran out and there was no water, and there probably several million of us en route to the promised land, several million. It was over a million of the just the fathers and the men. But when we ran out of water, God spoke to Moses and told Moses, I want you to go and speak to the rock. Not hit it like Moses did, but I want you to speak to the rock, and the rock will give you water enough for everybody who is there. And I want you to know that God did it. You all remember that? Not only that, you remember when Pharaoh was in pursuit of us. And as he was in pursuit of us and began to increase or decrease the distance between us and them, God put a cloud down between us and Pharaoh and turned one side of the cloud dark so that Pharaoh thought it was time to put all of his people to sleep. And he turned the light on the other side of the cloud. If that ain't big, I'd like to tell you about it. That's big. That's how God does things. So while they were still traveling, Pharaoh and his army were asleep because they thought it was night, because God turned. God did that for us. And brothers and sisters, I need you all to know that whatever God does, he does it and he does take care of his people. So he put together a total protection plan. Not only that, when he got to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was flowing as it normally does. But when he got there, God told Moses, all you need to do is to use what you got. Now, one of the things that I need to say to you all as brothers and sisters today, and I'm going to share this a little bit later with you in this message. But he told Moses, just stretch out the rod. You don't have to do nothing. Just stretch out the rod. And all that is doing is you're telling me it's time to open the water. And I will hear you because I will see you when you raise the rod. And when Moses raised the rod, the sea opened up. And the Bible says that the waters congealed. Now watch this. Congealed. And when we look up the word congeal, it simply meant that the water froze, literally iced up on both sides. Oh man, let me tell you something. God is bad. And I don't have any problem with making that statement today that God is a mighty powerful God. So when the water congealed, not only that, he sent a wind and turn the clay and mud at the bottom of the water into concrete. So they walked around across the Red Sea and didn't get a spark of mud on their feet. Mm-hmm. That's God. And since they didn't get any mud on their feet, I thought about another, them three Hebrew fellows. Mm-hmm. Them three Hebrew fellows were, out there, and they said, you know what? We're not going to this party that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. We're not going to it. We're going to stay here and just pray. And Nebuchadnezzar told him, said, listen, he came back because everybody wants to tell off on you when you've done something good, particularly if they think they can get you in trouble. So when Nebuchadnezzar came back, said, I'm going to give you boys another chance. They said, save your breath. Save your breath. We're not going. He said, okay, we'll burn you up. Well, long story made short, he told me, heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. And so when they set that up, when they set up the heat, they bound them and threw them inside. And when they threw them inside and they left them overnight, Nebuchadnezzar come back the next day and look and peep, and lo and behold, the guys that they had bound and threw them into the fire furnace is now no longer laying down, but they're walking free in the flame. And in addition to that, there was a fourth party in the midst. And they said, uh-oh, something's up here. Well, all I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, God has a way to protect us if we allow him to protect us. Now, let me see if we can close out. Bottom line, whoa, let me take you back to the three Hebrew boys. When they took them out, let them out, I could see Nebuchadnezzar said, these guys don't even smell like smoke. There ain't no smoke smell on them. And he bowed his head to serve the gods of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Let's go back to Joshua and see if we can close out that part of the message. Well, listen to what he said. Verse 14. Now therefore fear, after he told them what God had said, the Father's decree, the Father said, and Joshua in this case is standing as the Father over all these nations. And listen to what he said. Now therefore fear ye the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil, now he's drawing it all to a conclusion. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day, I ain't waiting for you no longer, which God your father served on the other side, and live and on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I was born and raised, and you probably heard me say this before, I was born and raised on plantation in Bahia, Mississippi. And if you know where Memphis is, it's about 20 miles, maybe 15 to 20 miles southeast of Memphis, Tennessee. On a plantation, a cotton picking plantation. And we had to lived in a shack. And many other blacks lived in other shacks on the plantation where we were. And when it was time to plant the crops, if the weather would allow and it was good time to plant the cotton and you needed some shoes for your children or some clothes for your kids, you could then go to the white man and he would let you have something based on what he thought that you would raise in cotton. But I remember one time my mama, my little mama, who was a feisty little sister and totally believed in God, she wanted us to have some, see, I'm about to lose it right here. She wanted us to have some Easter shoes. And she went to Dr. McCauley, who was the owner of the plantation. And he says, Bertha, the cotton ain't planted yet. And she says, Dr. McCauley, I don't care whether the cotton ever get planted or not. I want some shoes for my boy. I want some shoes for my little girl for their Easter service, and I'm waiting right now. And she didn't back off a bit. And Dr. McCauley sent us across to the dry goods store, the Burr's dry goods store, and we all had new shoes for Easter because my mama stood up for what she knew to be right. Now, I need to say that daddies need to be able to speak to their children these days and give them clear instruction. He needs to be able to speak. Now, let me take you to another passage of scripture as we begin to close. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says this, that a good leader or a bishop or the head of the house rules his own house well. Now that word rules his home house well does not mean that he takes a stick and beat his wife. It does not mean that he beat his children. But what it means is that that father has God in him so that when he speaks, his family, his wife, his children, his community knows that he's speaking on behalf of the kingdom of God. And they will hear him not because they are afraid of him, but they will hear him because they believe in their father, which represents the kingdom of God. Let's see what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Listen what he says. He said, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other. He will not be able to serve God and mammon. And our children need to be able to know that. You know, I can't forget. I'm going back to Mississippi again with you. Right there in Bahia, Mississippi, after my daddy had gone into the World War II and got back from World War II, bought his own little 60-acre farm, had our own little house built. And every Saturday evening during the summer, we would have a fish fry with mama and the five kids. And you know what? My heart is melting right now. My daddy died in 2002. But daddy would sit down and talk to us and laugh and joke with us as if we were somebody really special. I cannot forget that. And I remember very, very well. And I wanted to go because I love playing baseball. But when the days that he would cook the fish fry, I couldn't go to the baseball game until after the fish fry for mama, daddy, and the kids. And ladies and gentlemen, there were five of us, and all five of us were believers in the Lord Jesus because mama and daddy knew how to get us to know the truth about what God wanted us to know. We're going through some terrible times, ladies and gentlemen, and it is time right now, as I close this message, that we let our children know there's a way, and there's a way, and there's a way. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that there's a way, but there's only one way that God will accept us, and that is when we love Jesus enough to be obedient to what God has called us to. So I ask you today, fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day, don't forget that God has called you to speak on his behalf to your wife, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandkids, and not only that, but to those who live in your community. Demonstrate. God, we thank you today for allowing us to say a word on the kingdom, a word that you gave us today, a word that we stand on. And as far as I'm concerned, I will live and breathe until I leave this world telling everybody that you live and beside you there is no other God. Mr. Trump don't know, and no other president know what will happen in the times to come. But you've already left on record for us to let everybody know that you're in charge. And what you say is what we say. And we give you praise, glory, and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We hope that you will receive this, take a look at it, and at our church, Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, we have a service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and I believe that you'd be blessed to come by and visit with us if you don't have another church. God bless you. Lord keep you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.